Man, how many of you had a good week? Yeah, that's some of you. And then some of you have just had one of them weeks, it's like, boy, it's overpowering. And then sometimes there's this, you just don't want to do anything the rest of your life kind of week. Amen. You get tired. How many of you ever gotten tired of something? You get tired of doing the same old thing over and over and dealing with the same old people with the same old problems the same old week after week. Amen. You get just tired. And so I'm going to talk to you today about some things you can do so that you can help yourself. Sometimes you just got to help yourself. Amen. And sometimes that means say no.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Amen. And so I want to talk to us today about rest. And so I titled my message today, The Holy Spirit Wants to Give You Rest. Now, I'm not talking about physical rest alone, but I am, but spiritual rest and emotional rest. How many know you can get spiritually bombarded? You can just get spiritually bombarded, and it all seems good and sounds good, but you can just get overwhelmed spiritually. And then you can get overwhelmed emotionally. How many, anybody been ever overwhelmed emotionally?
Oh, yeah.
Let me get all of my limbs up in the air. Because, man, emotionally you can get it. And as me and Brother RT were talking before church, you know, it's like my mama used to say. She said, there was three of us boys and an angel of a daughter. Now, we didn't think that, but Dad thought that, okay, because she was the baby and she was the only girl. And Mama would say, now, you kids are getting on my last nerves, and you're standing on that one. You ever been there where people, you got one nerve left and people just, oh, it's like if one more person, if one more thing happens today, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to go off. How many ever been there? Amen. If you didn't raise your hand, that means you hadn't been married very long or you're not married. Amen. You know, I've got a cut on my finger. It's just a small cut. It means nothing to nobody. Don't even have a Band-Aid on it. Doesn't mean anything to you. Doesn't mean a whole lot to me until I put a little pressure and I'm reminded that that little thing sends something up this arm to my brain and says, no, don't be doing that because that's a problem. It's a problem spot. And I think a lot of times we have problem spots and then we let problem spots turn into problem people and then problem people turn into spiritual problems and then the enemy just gets on the bandwagon and man, does he have a heyday. Amen. So I want to talk to you today about spiritual rest, physical rest, some emotional rest, and that the Holy Spirit wants to give you rest. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Hallelujah. You know, I'm reminded of stories. You find that. I'm reminded of a story. Two guys, they were fishermen. And one guy, he fished just for himself. And he would go to the riverbank, and he would put his straw hat on and his pole, and he would stick that out there, something like a Huckleberry Finn kind of picture or Tom Sawyer, just fishing. And he would lay on the bank, and he would just wait for the fish to come to grab the bait, and he wasn't worried about anything. And he would sit there, and one of his friends, he decided he needed a boat so he could catch more fish, so he could sell more fish, to buy more boats, so that he could employ people, so that he could take some time off. And he's going down the river one day, and he sees his friend sitting on the side of the bank, just laid back, legs crossed, straw hat on, and he's got his one pole in the water. And he pulls up there in this big boat, and he comes to the bank, and he said, man, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm fishing. He said, fishing? Man, you need to get up, and you need to get you a boat so you can get more fish. Catch more fish so you can buy more boats to catch more fish, to employ more people, so you can take some time off. And the guy in the straw hat raises his hat up and says, kind of like I'm doing now. So sometimes you can work yourself into a situation that you don't even have to work yourself into. Now, there is another side of that, too, that, you know, you can be so lazy that nothing gets done in your life and life passes you by and you don't even know it and you come to the end and say, boy, I wish I'd have done more. So you got to find a balance is what I'm saying, because you get too much on one side and you run out of that thing called rest, and you get too much on the other side and you're too restful and you become lazy. Amen. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says to this. Now, this is the Lord speaking. He says, come to me. Now, I'm just saying that if the Holy Spirit, guys, can you cut me down just a little bit? If the Holy Spirit, or Jesus in this situation, Jesus says, come to me, what do you think you ought to do? I think it'd be a good plan to go. So it's, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And this is what he says, if you come to me, and every person that I know has either been heavy laden or burdened at one time. You've got a lot of labor going on. In other words, you're suppressed with something. He says, and I will give you rest. That's what he says. We're looking for rest in appeal. Come on, somebody. You're looking for rest in medications from a doctor or maybe the bottle. I just want a little sip so I can rest a little bit. Do you know if you're looking for rest in a bottle, that's contrary to what God's word says? He says, if you'll come to me, I'll give you rest. Oh, got quiet in the church today. It doesn't come like that. You may think it does, but rest comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from God. Jesus said, if you'll come to me that are burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest. But you got to come to him. We look for all other sources first before we go to the one who has the real source of rest. I'm going to explain some words here in just a minute. Verse 29 and 30 I'll read, and then I'll go back and we'll talk about these. Verse 20 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He's wanting you to know that in him there's rest for your souls. Verse 30 says, and for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So let's unpack a couple of words real quick. The word labor, kapio is how you kind of say that. If you don't like the way I say it, you can figure out how to say it yourself. But that's the way I say it. And it is a Greek word, and it means this. It means to grow weary, are tired, exhausted, with toil of burdens or grief. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever get tired? It just means to labor with wearisome effort. You ever feel like you've tried to help somebody and you're doing something and you never get anywhere? That's what wearisome is. That means you're just trying and you've done everything you know to do and you've poured out everything you have and you've exhausted all resources that you have and nothing happens to that person or in your life. You ever been there? Boy, I have. I've prayed and thought, boy, the heavens are brass. Come on. It's just to toil or of bodily labor. You're just tired. That's what this word labor means. You can be tired and be a Christian, and it's okay. But sometimes you need rest more than just going to sleep and getting a good night's sleep. How many of you have been so tired? You say, if I could just lay down for 30 minutes, just 30 minutes, if I could get 30 minutes with no kids pulling on me, no stinky diapers, nothing, my wife or my husband not talking to me, I just need 30 minutes of uninterrupted sleep. Man, it would make my life different. How many ever been driving down the road at night at 2 in the morning, the worst feeling in the world, and you want to go to sleep, and you're doing your best, and you're shaking your head, and you roll down the window, and you put the vents on you in December so it'd be really cold. I mean, you're doing all those things, and you're chewing gum, and whatever it is, and you're patting yourself on the forehead and doing all that. You ever been there? Man, that's the worst feeling in the world. I'm telling you, that's going to be a feeling in hell, I guarantee it. It's got to be, because it's horrible. I mean, until you get rest, there's nothing that satisfies your fleshly body till you sleep. Amen. I go home at lunchtime sometimes because I'm still a little old-fashioned when Ethan lets me go home for lunch. I don't know where he got all that working stuff from. And I go home, and after lunch, I like to take a nap. How many of you like to take a nap right after lunch? Glory to God. I mean, some people say, oh, no, I don't want to take a nap. That just makes me more tired. Oh, no. Give me 10 minutes, wake me up in 20, and I'm great. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, come on, somebody. That's what my daddy would say. The boys, I'm going to go and take me about 10 minutes. Y'all wake me up in 20. Because, you know, it was just revitalizing, boy, and it does. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit wants to be that rest for you. He sometimes wants you to lay down and get a good night's sleep. He sometimes wants you to take a nap after a good lunch. Get rest. But the Holy Spirit wants you to because He understands. Do you know the Holy Spirit understands that you're tired? Do you know He understands that you're weary? Do you know He understands every problem that you go through? He does. And so He knows that you're going to need rest. Watch this. This other word, laden. He says, come to me, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This word laden means fortizo, that's how you pronounce it, and it means to place a burden upon, to load, the load of a ship. How many of you have been in a situation where you're going through life and you feel like that, you know, I looked yesterday, I'll give you this example. I looked yesterday, the day before I was coming across the bridge. And if you're coming this way and you look off to the north side, you'll see Farmer's Grain over there. And they usually have a barge sitting there that they're filling up with grain. And sometimes that thing is like this. The front of you think, man, it's fixing to flip over. But as they continue to load that barge, it kind of levels out. And the other day I looked and I'm thinking, man, if they put another bushel of grain on that barge, that dude is going down. I hope a tugboat doesn't come by and make a big wave because it's going over. I mean, it's like, y'all didn't. You had one job and you overloaded the barge. You ever feel out of the way? You're going through life and life's a mess. Your finances are jacked up and you're jacked up and your wife's jacked up and the kids are jacked up. Everybody's just jacked up. Your life's just jacked up. Amen. Y'all need to watch On Patrol Live. I don't advocate for the show. You watch that show? Oh, there's some jacked up folks on there. I watched it last night for 10 minutes. I turned to my wife and said, thank God, our kids are normal. Or in this case, abnormal. I mean, it's like they just messed up. But your life just gets messed up. And you feel like that you've loaded to the max. And if somebody says something wrong to you, looks at you wrong, comments something to you, that you're going to sink. You ever been there? Do you know it happens to Christians in the church? You're not immune to life's problems. And when you come to church, if you haven't found proper rest, you bring those to church, and then Jason says something to you. Say, man, that shirt makes you full figured. You think, he said, I'm fat. And you take it from there that he don't like you. And now you're mad. Because that was the last straw that broke the camel's back. And you're all upset. Amen? I've been there. That's why you need rest. That's why you need to let the Holy Spirit give you rest. Watch this. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now that, let me tell you about a yoke. A yoke was something, I wish I'd had a picture that I would have put on the screen. But a yoke is in this time frame was where it would it was a wooden piece, typically, sometimes metal, but mostly wooden piece that went over the ox, a shoulder of this ox or the neck, and then a paired up ox right next to it with a collar in it, and it paired them together. Now I don't know if you've ever been linked to somebody. How many has ever done the potato sack race? You know where you put one leg in there and somebody else puts the other leg in the other side and you cinch that up and somehow you got two independent thinking people and you're supposed to run with them without practice and win. Come on, right? You're expected to hook up with this person, get linked up, and you're the expectation is that you cross the finish line, you're to win. Boy, that's a heavy burden right there. Because, you know, some of us have two left feet. But when this person wanted to go and you drug behind, guess what? You see more falls in a potato sack race than anything. Well, in this analogy that Jesus is talking about, there were two oxen. And he talks about those yokes. But when one oxen was ornery, guess what? There was had to be some compromise somewhere. That if the good ox wanted to do the right thing and plow a straight row, that the bad ox either had to line up or the good ox had to plow a crooked row. See what I'm saying? And Jesus says, my yoke is nothing like that. My yoke is easy. If you'll follow me, we'll go on the right path. If you follow me, your life, I'm not saying it'll be stress-free. I'm saying it'll be easier. He said his yoke was easy. He said it's easy. Didn't say you wasn't going to be yoked. He said it'd be easy. And I know in life, with finances, Lord, with inflation, glory to God, our dollar's worth nothing. If you think, boy, our economy's good, you hadn't been the one doing the grocery shopping. You hadn't filled up your gas tank in the last 6 months if you think our economy's great. Inflation is having a toll financially because you're wondering, are we going to be able to feed little Johnny and put diapers on little Susie over here and buy shoes? And, oh, Lord, school's coming up. Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do about school shoes? Because you buy them today, they're outgrown next week. My wife, look, Amazon has made money off my wife this year. I have more little boy shoes from that size to that size. And I asked my wife, who is wearing all these shoes? Who are you giving these shoes to? Well, Levi's foot's just growing so much. Let the boy go barefooted. I mean, my God. Y'all need some shoes for your kids? See, my wife, we got them, man. I'm talking about all sizes. I mean, they come every week. I say, he ain't growing that much. There ain't no way. I mean, it's just crazy. But finances are, man, it's crazy. I watched a show last night on Discovery Family. Maybe some of you saw it. And it was called Sextuplets. That was enough right there to get my attention. But the captioner says, getting sextuplets in the van because the tornado's coming. That was, oh, I got to see this. So I flicked on there. It's a family from North Alabama. And boy, are they country. You hear me? I thought we as country in South Arkansas, but dear Lord. This woman had three good-looking boys, like 11, you know, 10, 8, something like that. And she got pregnant and had six of them youngins at the same time. Three's bad enough, ain't it, sweetheart? It's a blessing, amen. One of them's still sitting there by you. I see what you're saying, yeah. I said, Blaze outside, she still got one of the triplets sitting. She had triplets, glory to God. Six. They were all healthy. They made it. They're 2 years old. 9 children. 9. See, I was so stressed watching it, I can't even count. 9 children. And she was on, now look, I had already had my message finished and sent it to Hunter when I flicked on this show. And she was talking about how hard it is and the stress. And sometimes she just wants to go away. I'm thinking, about every day. Somebody, she said, she made this statement. She said, somebody always has a poopy diaper. You think your life's bad. How would you know that you always have to change somebody's poopy diaper? Now that's bad. Do you hear me? That would be an overbearing to a mother and her mother and mother's friends and their friends too for the help. Amen. And she had this friend named Valerie. So this tornado was coming. I'm going to finish the story and I'll give it. So she had this storm, and a tornado was coming. And so they had to load up all those kids. And the father, he was laid back. I mean, he didn't get in a hurry. I'm telling you what, he wasn't in a hurry for nothing. Do you hear me? I mean, catch himself on fire. And he'd walk to get himself put out. He was slow. And he said, it's like it takes forever to get all the kids in the car. So they had a van. 2 rows of car seats, literally, 3 in each row. He said, and then he got the other nine, and they're sitting in the back. They just fend for yourselves, I guess. He said, it's like forever. And he said, it just gets so monotonous, so mundane, just to get in the vehicle. And I thought, you know, that's probably true. I mean, I put Levi in sometimes, and if you're not around there and that thing's not moving in about 30 seconds, dear God, it's going to break loose. You hear me screaming? Well, not really necessarily Levi, but boy, Lexi was bad. Glory to God. Life hits you. Normal stuff. Normal. She didn't ask for that. She got pregnant like everybody else and had six. Praise God, she kept them. She didn't get an abortion, praise the Lord. And she had six. And life hits her every day right in the face. They were a believer, believe it or not. When the storm came, they was praying, thank you, Jesus, for this. And, you know, they were believers. You can tell they were believers. But without Christ, how hard would life be for her? How hard's life for you? That word rest, when it talks about that he would give us rest, that word rest is anapao, and it means to cause, watch this, to cause or to permit one to cease from any movement. You know, sometimes you got to cause yourself to not do anything. You've got to allow yourself not to do something. You've got to say, I'm going to sit down and rest. No, I cannot do that for you today. I'm resting. And that makes you feel like it, as a Christian that you let someone down. As a mayor that you let someone down. Let them down. They're okay. They're big people. They got there by themselves. It's okay to say no sometimes. Now, if you got a habit, you never do anything. Now, that's on the other. That's the lazy guy sitting on the bank. Come on. It's okay to say, sometimes you have to say, no, this is my time. I will rest. You say, well, a lot of people depend on me. Well, let them depend on somebody else for a few hours. If a few hours, listen to me, if a few hours makes or breaks you, you're already on the downfall. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, some of you know, I mean, hey, I'm a worker. I love to work. But if my few hours that I take off to come to church is going to make or break me into what I'm doing, I ain't going to make it next week, no way. Praise the Lord. So sometimes you have to rest in yourself. The word rest means to refresh, to give oneself rest, to take rest. How many of you ever felt guilty when you know you just need rest and you just took a day off? And tomorrow or the next day, you say, oh, if I hadn't have taken off then, I would have been this much further ahead. Would you? See, that's really a question you can't really answer. Because with rest, you might have been able to do twice as much as you did when you were tired. You don't know those answers. But the Lord wants you to have rest in Him. Now, there's three ways to walk in rest. And I want to get these to you real quick. Three ways. Number one, Isaiah 26:3. Keep your mind on Christ. You want rest, you want spiritual rest, physical rest, you want rest, keep your mind on Christ. Do you know in Christ, I don't ever get anxious and nervous when I'm thinking on Christ. I get excited, my spirit's refreshed, but I'm not anxious thinking about Christ. I don't have anxiety. Because the Bible tells that we shouldn't have anxiety, not to worry. But in Christ, there's peace and there's joy that comes. And Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace. What's the opposite of worry and stress and being unrestful would be peace. The Bible says that he, meaning God, will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed on him. Stayed means, that word means to be fixed, to lean upon, to rest upon, to support, to sustain. In other words, you got to lean into God. You know he can prop you up. God ain't going, you're not going to push God over. You can lean in there on him and you can lean hard on him. And he's going to be okay. He's strong enough to prop you up in the midst of your worst storm. Lean on him. But guess what? There's a key. You got to keep your mind stayed on him, not just when you have a problem. Come on. We want to use God just when we got problems. Yep. Lord, I'm going to lean on you because you know what I'm going through. And he said, where was you at when you wasn't going through anything? Now, God's different than me. I'd say, well, do whatever you want to. God is so gracious and loving and merciful and long-suffering that he says, just lean on me anyway. But he says, if you won't find perfect peace, that's what the word says, that God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind stayed on him. In other words, be fixed on him through all the time, in the morning, in the evening, in the good, in the bad, when things are going great, when there's money in the bank, when there's no money in the bank, when the bills aren't piling up and when they are piled up. Come on. When the doctor report says, man, you're good, and when the doctor report says it's not so good, keep your mind stayed on him and you'll be in peace. Praise the Lord. Amen. Number two. So number one is keep your mind on Christ. Number two, do not try to walk in rest with your own ability. That's where we get hung up. Do not try to walk in God's rest in your own ability. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14 says this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, watch this now, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of what? Grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of what? Need. When you need rest, you're in a troubled spot. And he says, come boldly. In other words, run to Christ and say, I need some rest physically. I need some rest spiritually. I need some rest emotionally. God, my mind's been stayed on you, and I'm coming to you saying, Lord, I need your peace. I need your rest. I need your grace so that I can rest in my time of need. Life will get you so messed up that you won't even call on God. You will start trying to figure out how to do this in your own abilities. Well, if I change this and I do this and I'm going to hire this guy and I'm going to turn this guy loose and if I do this over here, and that's going to fix my problem. Yeah, good luck with that. Let me know how that turns out for you. But if you go to God and say, God, I need grace. I need rest in my time of need. What do you want to do? What do you have on your mind, Lord? We as men are especially troubled by that because God designed us to be fixers and doers. We won't do it. We won't make it happen so mama be happy. Come on. Most of the time I have found that if I'm trying to do something to make mama happy, it's not what she needed me to do for her to be happy because I was disengaged with what makes her happy. That would have been a great amen moment for you wives in the building. But what do you want to do, God? What do you have in mind? Go boldly. Lord, I'm in trouble. I need some rest. Lord, I'm physically tired. I need some rest. You know what he'll tell you? Well, go get some rest. Not very deep, is it? Sometimes you just need to rest. Is that right, Doc? Doc Rosie, medical doctor. Sometimes you just need to rest. Would you think rest is one of the, I'll say within the top five things, rest is that important to your body?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Medical doctor, there you go. Jesus may not have said it, but the medical doctor did. Amen? Come on. No. You see what I'm saying? Rest is so important physically. So he may tell you to get some rest. Go to sleep. You know what you can do? Well, Pastor, I just don't have enough time. Let me tell you a little story. One time I was in a meeting in here when I first come to the church, and we'd done a timetable where you wrote down everything that you did during the 24-hour period. And I was showing people that you actually do have time left over if you manage correctly.
Yeah.
You know, you got to manage your stuff. And so we go through the list, and there was 10 or 12 people in there, and we got through, and I took out the account for 8 hours of work and 8 hours for sleep, okay? And so they start going through, and one person said, well, this can't be true. Why? Well, I put down more on my paper than there is time. So let's go back through. How many hours are there in a day? 24. We took out 8 hours for work, 8 hours for sleep. You figure out your travel time and all this stuff, but it's not possible. I have more hours that I'm doing stuff than there are hours in the day. How many ever said that, heard that kind of phrase? My response was, no. What you think you're doing, you're not actually doing, because the time doesn't change. Everybody has a certain amount of time. It's called 24 hours. You don't get an extra few hours or a few less. That's what you have. Amen? The whole point was that to let them know that you do have time for Christ. You do have time to read your Bible. You do have time to meditate on Christ if you plan and meditate and keep your mind stayed on Christ. Amen? It'll help you through life. Number three. So number one was keep your mind on Christ. Number two, don't try to walk and rest with your own ability. And number three, keep Christ the focus of your life. I'm going to read a little passage of scripture from Luke chapter 20, chapter 12. I'm going to read several passages of verse scripture here. And so you know the good point here. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on it. That right there, if we could just fix that problem right there, life would be so much better. You know what? We got people worried about, well, I can't wear Walmart clothes. Come on, you know there's people like that. Walmart clothes. They got to have a certain tag in there. If I have to take my shirt off, I want you to see my tag. Don't take your shirt off, we won't see your tag. Come on now. Verse 23, life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? You need to tell yourself sometimes, I'm more valuable than the birds. Some of us think we have no value with God, that God has left us, and that you're all alone, and that's why you want to try to find this rest on your own ability. That is not true. God says, you're more valuable than any creation that I've made. That's what he says. Next verse. And a which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, is what the scripture says. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He has so much detail in a lily that it's amazing. And he cares for you more than the lily. If then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And do not seek, now listen to what we're going to get into, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Some of you need to get rid of your anxious mind. Some of you scared to go to the mailbox because you're afraid you might get bad news. Well, you know, you got a 50-50 chance of getting good news. If you just go expecting some things, my wife, I used to mess with her all the time. You know I'm not a prosperity preacher by any means, but my wife would say, well, go to the mailbox. I said, oh, praise God, I'm going to get the check. She said, would you quit doing that? Well, you expect a bill or expect a check. I mean, I got 50-50 chance, amen? So I just thought I'd just go expecting a check. Most time it's bills, but I still had high expectations, amen? Amen. It says, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. He knows that you need food. He knows that you need clothes. He knows that you need the basic necessities. He knows that. He does not, however, know that you need a Cadillac.
or a bass boat. If you got those, I ain't complaining about them. But then we were all can't meet my bills. Some things are luxuries. Do you know a Volkswagen Beetle will get you the same place a Cadillac Escalade will? Just won't be as comfortable. Come on, somebody. We get anxious over stuff because we put ourselves in those positions. Don't be anxious. But seek the kingdom of God, this is what Scripture says, and all these things shall be added to you. All the basics of life are going to be added to you. He's going to take care of you. If you put forth some effort, he's going to take care of you. Sometimes, now watch this, all the time, you've got to put hand to plow. If you're of the mindset that you're going to walk out on the front steps of your house or apartment, hotel, whatever it is, and where you're staying, and you look at, oh, I'm believing for $1 million in the brown paper bag. You better get up and go to work. You better have your work boots on when you go out there looking, because you need to keep on going and go to work. It's not the way it works, okay? Can God provide for your needs? Yes, he can. Amen. Praise God. I've had it happen. Not with a bag of money. Buy you groceries, buy you some gas, things like that. How many of you have been there? And I pray that everybody, how many of you have been able to do that to somebody or for somebody? Come on, amen. You ought to be able to do that. It says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What is the kingdom? That's whatever you need, okay? Sell what you have and give alms. Provide for yourselves money bags, which do not grow old. The treasures in heaven that does not fail. There's treasure in heaven that will not fail. Where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How do you find rest in the Lord? How do you keep focused on Christ? Because your focus on Christ, as we learn in Isaiah 26:3, brings the perfect peace of God into your life. But you have to do some things in the midst of getting that perfect peace of God to rest on you. And that simply is stay focused on Christ. Know that he is the provider of everything you need, not what you want, but what you need. Is there anything wrong with having stuff? No, praise God. You buy all you can, pay cash for it, and let me borrow it. Come on, it's better to have people with resources than just have money. You can just go borrow what they got, and they can fix it when you take it back. Amen? Come on, I'm kidding. I mean, how many of you got a trailer? You let somebody borrow a trailer, they wear their tires off and bring it back. Said, you're going to need some tires soon. Appreciate you letting me use that. So you set it aside, let them use it next time so they have a blowout. No, I'm kidding. That's wrong, isn't it? Perfect peace comes only from God. I'm here to tell you today that in today's world, every person that I'm speaking to right now, if not today and not yesterday's, but tomorrow, you're going to need to walk in the perfect peace of God. You're going to encounter something. Look, I'm not a doom and gloom. I'm just telling you this is called life. And if it hadn't, it will. And guess what? If it has already happened, it'll happen again. It's called life. It's called dealing with things. It's called dealing with children. It's called making your payments and bills and all those things. It's just the struggle of life. And we get so bogged down. And when we come to church, that's just why we try to get our minds and our hearts right before we worship God. Amen. Because you can come in so bombarded with life. You can look over at your wife and say, I don't know why she's raising her hands. We just had a great big argument on the way here. She shouldn't raise her hands. That's why I'm not going to raise my hands. I just know I can't. I'm not going to worship God today. Well, if you get your mind focused on Christ, that issue that you had come to church might not be as big. If you get your mind focused on Christ and stayed on Christ, guess what? Your issues will still be there, but you'll be able to handle them so much better because you're resting in the Holy Spirit. It is time that the Christians learn how to rest in the Holy Spirit and let him give you that perfect peace. They can blanket you. Amen? Because life's coming at you. Amen? Will you stand with me across this building? You say, Lord, we ain't never been out this early. We ain't doing it again next week. I'm just telling you, this is what the Lord gave to me to give to you. And this is what you get. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Rusty, you got peace up there in the back. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, your wife's smiling. I can tell you do. I'll tell you, glory to God. Amen. Amen. I want to pray with you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Say, Pastor, I really didn't even want to come this morning. I was just lethargic. I didn't want to get out of bed. Just life was just bombarding me from all sides. But I need rest. I need emotional. Some of you just need emotional rest. You've been trying to figure out how to do something, and you just run into roadblocks everywhere you turn, and whatever you think is going to work out, it turns into a dead end. You have to turn around and backtrack, and then the next one, same thing. Maybe it's an emotional thing in your life that you just need rest emotionally. Some of you may be physical. I just need physical rest. I'm physically tired. I've been working, or I'm dealing with kids, or I'm having to be a caretaker for maybe the in-laws or mom and dad, whatever it might be. And you're physically tired. You're just physically tired. Maybe it's that you're spiritually tired. Maybe you've been praying to God about a situation, and He hadn't answered. He just seems to be nowhere to be found. You've been praying for an answer, an avenue, a sign, something that God would show you. And you've seen nothing. You've heard nothing from God. You're tired. If that's you in this room with every head bowed and every eye closed, will you just stick up your hand? I just want you to stick your hand right up right now. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. See that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. See that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Hands all over. See that hand. See that hand. Hands all over this building. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All over this building. See, I'm at my wit's end, Pastor. Maybe your struggle is that you're still yoked up to sin. Maybe you've never ask the Lord to come into your heart. Maybe you never surrendered and said, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, I want to be yoked to you. Maybe that's where you are. You just need to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. If that's you and you need forgiveness of sins, will you just slip up your hand right where you are? No one's looking around. Will you just slip up your hands right where you say, I see that hand. Are there others? You just need to be forgiven of your sins. Jesus is always willing, ready, and able to forgive you of your sins. If that was you, if you're in your heart, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus died and rose again, that we can be saved. If that's you, you truly mean it. If you'll just say a prayer, something like this. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me and wash me. Make me whole. Lord, if you wash me, I'll be whiter than snow, as the psalmist David spoke of in Psalms 51. Just ask him to come in and to be your Lord, to be your master.
you raised your hand and these other areas of you needing rest spiritually or physically, emotionally, if you would, just stick your hands back up. If that was you, you just raise your hands back up and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have no ability within me to give rest. But your word says that you're a God of perfect peace. So Lord, I pray that you would blanket this room right now in the name of Jesus with a peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, whether it's emotional, Lord, I pray that things would begin to line up in the favor of your people. Lord, if it's spiritually speaking, Lord, I pray that you would make the crooked paths straight. Lord, that the mountains in front of them, spiritually speaking, would melt like wax. Lord, if it's physically, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would give them sweet sleep today. Lord, give them rest to their weary bodies, Lord. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this house. I thank you for this word you gave today, God, because I know that there's weary people. God, don't let us grow weary in doing good, but stay focused, be stayed upon you and your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone says, amen and amen. I hope you enjoyed your message today. I'm telling you, the Lord gave this to me in a few minutes yesterday. And I said, Lord, that's not very, I don't like that message. It ain't very fun. The Holy Spirit's response is, well, I don't care whether you think it's fun. I got some people that need it. And I believe you needed it today, but the show of hands. So would you be as so kind as to get in God's word? Find rest in his word. Pray to him and seek him. Keep your mind stayed on him. And I'm telling you, your problems may not go away, but you'll be able to handle those problems. Amen. Amen. Let me.